building winning habits. There is a commitment behind it, and that's what we have to learn.
Blackhawks Live.
Kershaw fires a shot, block. Here's a shot for Bedard. He scores! Connor Bedard, it's his 11th goal on the season. Got it back to Kershaw. Drop pass, Bedard, top of the left circle. He fires, he scores! What a shot by Connor Bedard!
I think he's capable of everything and anything. Just with the little sample I've seen in the last 2 days, it's definitely impressive what he does on the ice.
Where you from?
Chicago.
Now, it's time to talk Hawks.
Let's go Blackhawks!
Here's Joe Brand.
The best in the city of Chicago.
More great work from our production guy, Ernie Skatten. In that open, you heard Nick Foligno talking about this Blackhawks team needing to build winning habits. And then Anthony Beauvillier, super impressed with Connor Bedard after playing just one game with the kid. And he's only played one game because that's all he's been allowed to play so far. Hopefully he'll join the team for good on Tuesday against the Nashville Predators, but having some visa issues, we kind of had some conversation with a few people around the station today about why is it that? Why is it so difficult for NHL players to get their working visa issues finalized and ready to go so that they can join their new team? It's interesting because you think that just be a very seamless process. It's happened a heck of a lot of times already, and it is the NHL, for crying out loud. You would think that that'd be just something that could be taken care of, even if it is the weekend and the government on both sides gets a little slow on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. Our guest this week is Scott Powers of The Athletic. Hawks have an off day, but we're thrilled to have Scott, who always just has so much insight on the team and really looks at the game a very intelligent and intriguing way. So really excited to talk to him after the 7:30 news. Unfortunately, it's not the most exciting time for the Hawks right now. 3-game losing skid. They get swept on the road, get outscored 12-3, and not too much to write home about. Connor Bedard continues his point streak on the road. That's great. 9 straight games. Longest stretch for an 18-year-old, other than Nathan McKinnon's 16-game stretch in NHL history. And started the scoring against Winnipeg on Saturday. Right place, right time. Still seeming to do great things with Filip Kurashev, but the Hawks really having a difficult time offensively right now. Kind of breaking down defensively as well. Having troubles there. I know we've talked a lot this year. Troy Murray's been mentioning a lot on the broadcast how the Hawks are relying on so much of their youth defensively, and that's why a lot of the breakdowns happen. But it's not just the youth right now. There's kind of a lot of blame to go around. And we've had some feisty callers, too. Our guy Jim from Morton Grove chimed in on the postgame show yesterday and was pretty frustrated about a lot of things. And if you want to hear that call, you can go and listen to the postgame show after the loss to the Minnesota Wild yesterday, wherever you get your podcast. We do podcast every postgame show. And if you notice a little difference in the structure of those shows, that is by design. We're kind of breaking away from a typical highlight show. We're kind of breaking away from playing postgame sound in its entirety. If it's reasonable and the guys have good things to say, we're going to play it all in all. But because we're podcasting these post-game show now, we try to make it a little bit more timely, a little bit more conversational. And we definitely invite you, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. I say it all the time in the post-game show, but that's open here on Blackhawks Live as well. But a 3-game losing skid on the road, losses to Detroit, Winnipeg, and Minnesota. 4-game homestand coming up. The Hawks are going to have home games every other day starting tomorrow. Nashville on Tuesday, Anaheim on Thursday, St. Louis on Saturday, and then Washington on Sunday. So a back-to-back at the UC over the weekend. And there are some winnable games in that stretch, but the Hawks aren't in a position right now to be taking a look at opponents and starting to predict or premeditate wins, because that hasn't been a recipe for success this year. We talk so much at the beginning of the year of how difficult the Hawks' start was and how many juggernauts they were playing. And nonstop, too, and in tough environments, home openers and big ceremonious games. And they came up short for the majority of them, but they still put up very impressive performances. with a win in Vegas, a win in Toronto, a solid performance against the Pittsburgh Penguins on opening night, a victory there at the PPG Paints Arena. But for whatever reason, this team hasn't been able to be consistent. And they haven't been able to be consistent with that fighting effort that we saw so much last year. And I know we're talking about it a lot this year, and why? Why isn't it happening? The roster configuration, the roster makeup is different than last year, but there's still a lot of the same guys. And a lot of the same guys that were doing a lot of good things last season. And I know that is what was Jim from Morton Grove's main concern. He wants the head coach and Luke Richardson and Kyle Davidson, the general manager, to be called out a little bit more. And I think we're being fair with our assessment of them. I think Jim from Morton Grove would disagree, and I'm really excited to ask Scott Powers about this. But I understand Hawks fans' frustration right now, and it's justified. It's understood. The last three games were kind of stinkers for the most part, and it's tough to be fully invested in those games for all 60 minutes if the Hawks are just kind of going through these motions in the same problems. But the roster makeup is kind of handcuffed to where the Hawks are right now. Heading into this year, I think everyone understood that this team is not going to make a Stanley Cup run, even with the kid and Connor Bedard. And no, that's not okay to just not worry about the year and not worry about wins and losses completely. But the fighting effort has been lacking. The execution, I like that word better because it's hard to say that hockey players aren't trying, right? That's kind of their MO. That's kind of their identity. Always giving it their all. Always laying it out on the ice. But the execution has slumped or just hasn't clicked. And I do think part of it is these guys trying to be too perfect on the ice, trying to make that perfect pass, trying to figure out the right thing offensively to turn it around in a cinch and get this team on the roll that they're hoping for. But that's not what they need to do right now. They need to get ugly, gritty goals. And I know this is cliche hockey speak, but it's not working with them trying to make the perfect pass, the perfect shot each and every time. And there's a lot of skilled guys, but there's a lot of guys that are kind of the mucking and grinding type and are fighting for playing time and are excelling well. How about almost the whole month that Boris Kachuk has had? He was on this show last week, kind of a tell-it-how-it-is type of guy. He understands his situation, his role on this team, and he's excelling at it. I think you are seeing chemistry with Connor Bedard and Filip Kurashev, but for whatever reason, that's kind of it. I like to see Anthony Beauvillier in that mix. He seems like a fast guy that can handle the speed that Bedard and Kurashev play with, and he can provide a little bit more physicality on that line. He can go get the puck. He can be that Nick Foligno role. And I think that can help because then you can move Foligno back down to that line he's been having some good chemistry with in Jason Dickinson and a couple of rotating castmates on that line as well. And then that spreads the wealth. But Anthony Beauvillier has had some troubles being consistent on this roster because of the visa issues, which, I don't know, maybe Scott Powers will know a little bit more about that. But I was just talking to John Hansen on Your Money Matters just a moment ago, and he was saying, yeah, but I mean, three veteran guys the Hawks were relying on aren't here right now. Taylor Hall, Corey Perry, and Andreas Athanasiou. The only guy they're getting back is Andreas Athanasiou. I guess there's a chance that Taylor Hall could come back towards the end of the year, but it's not likely. Underwent successful ACL surgery on Monday. And even if Athanasiou isn't a guy that's been able to turn things around for this team, I mean, he did finish last year with the most points. Granted, he was one of the guys that stayed here the entire year, but he's a guy that brings speed. And I know that's kind of been what we've talked about a lot this year, that his speed has almost been his biggest threat and sometimes part of his flaw as well, because he just gets there so quickly he almost overskates the play or overskates the thought process of what is the best situation here. But the Hawks are lacking in speed from what they had last season. I mean, Athanasiou, Domi. So maybe it's the speed factor that can help make the effort level look a little bit better. I know I've referenced that before. The guys over at CHGO were mentioning that, how sometimes speed can disguise itself as effort. But the frustrations are understood, and I get where Hawks fans are coming from when they're upset of the roster makeup. But I don't think that means that this year is a complete loss. And I even say that knowing that not much is put on this year for the future hard success of this team. That's not lightly putting how important this season is for Connor Bedard. That is important as well. That's a huge part and a huge piece of this entire rebuild. But they're having difficulty everything else around it. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or text. It looks like we're going to get a call here. Our friend Robin, who is coming in with a different approach. Go ahead, Robin. You're on WGN.
Well, in my opinion, I think a winning team, we would get a winning team if the owner was hungry for a winning team. If the owner's not hungry and they're in it just for the money because they think they can rely on, oh, it's the Blackhawks, you know, we'll still get fans. They'll come no matter what. I think if the owners are hungry, we'll get a winning team again.
So you think Danny Wirtz isn't hungry enough, Robin?
I don't hear anything about him. I heard all about Rocky, but I don't hear about the new person that took over in his place. So I think we need to hear more from them what their design is for the Blackhawks, what they want the team to be.
Okay.
They want a winning team. They'll get one.
All right, I got some thoughts on that, Robin. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you chiming in.
Sure.
All right, that's Robin. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. I understand Robin's want for the owner, and in this case, Danny Wirtz, to be hungry. I think Danny Wirtz is hungry. Not only that, Danny Wirtz got a front row view of this Blackhawks organization and the ownership change from his grandfather Bill to his dad Rocky. And he saw the success that Rocky had by the changes that he made. And not only that, the organization reaped the benefits of the changes that Rocky had. I think Danny provides that as well. I think if Robin's upset that she's not seeing or hearing enough about Danny Wirtz in terms of the makeup of the team, I do know that Danny has complete belief in the system that he built with Kyle Davidson as the general manager. Over on the business side, Jamie Faulkner. I think he hired those people because he has faith, trust, and belief in all those people and allows them to do their job while also giving them confidence, flexibility, and just basically the opportunity to do their job. I don't think we got to go all the way to the top to figure out why the Blackhawks aren't scoring right now. But I appreciate hearing from the fans and their thought process on that. Texter from the 773 area code saying that the Blackhawks are one of the teams in the city that doesn't need to worry about the ownership. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. We got Steve Ruxton's news coming up in just a moment. Scott Powers will join us after the 7:30 news. He covers the team for The Athletic. Again, always enjoy his takes, his points of view. So be interesting to pick his brain about the Hawks' struggles right now and about some of the new guys. And, I mean, we haven't even mentioned kind of a big move by Luke Richardson before yesterday's game, making Lucas Reichel a healthy scratch. I came in as a Lucas Reichel stan this year. He was one of the best guys in the ice during training camp, during the scrimmages, doing a lot of great things. And it just seemed like everything made sense for him to take a huge stride this season. And for whatever reason, 22 games in, it's not the case. And you got to give credit to the Blackhawks for being open-minded with him, trying different things, putting him in different spots, challenging him, but also putting him in opportunities to succeed. And Lucas Reichel's a great example. I don't think he's not trying hard enough. I don't think it's a case of Lucas Reichel's effort level isn't there. But for whatever reason, that flashy offensive skill that he has is not there. 6 points in 22 games. His lone two goals, does that make sense? His only two goals, I guess? His only two goals have both come on the power play. He has 4 assists. They tried him on the top line with Bedard. They tried him on the top power play unit. That's where he got his two goals, but it never really got him going. He struggled a little bit at center. They moved him back to wing. I know a lot of people were hounding the Hawks for keeping him at center and making claims that that would stunt his growth. I don't know if that's the case. He had all offseason to prepare for the center position, and it seemed like he took on that challenge wholeheartedly, gained weight, worked on his strength and conditioning. He stopped playing tennis. He's a huge tennis fan. He's really good. At least that's what he tells me. But I can imagine Lucas Reichel's really good at tennis. He stopped playing it because it's too much cardio. And he was working solely on gaining weight, or getting stronger, I guess, to get ready at that center position and working on faceoffs. So, I mean, that's the work ethic right there. Also, I think he stayed in the States over the offseason, too. Now, it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing for the Hawks because, obviously, they hold a lot of value and have a high ceiling on Lucas Reichel. But the more he continues to struggle, the more the Hawks kind of have a decision to make. And that's why this season, it's important to see what the Hawks have in so many different guys. Lucas Reichel, Arvid Soderblom. You know, what do they have in Taylor Radish? Is this a guy that can be around for the foreseeable future? And, you know, I never really thought about this, but again, going back to our caller, Jim from Morton Grove, who I can't believe I'm giving this much airtime on Blackhawks Live, but he's so concerned about the roster makeup and wants to go to war against the general manager. This is the year to figure those things out. This is the year you have to be patient with individual efforts, even if that's at the cost of the offense struggling the way it is right now. Scott Powers is after Steve Ruxton News, and we're going to go to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN. Hawks are gearing up for a four-game homestand, which they'll kick off tomorrow night, hosting the Nashville Predators pregame show at 7 o'clock here on 720 WGN. I'm Joe Brand. Our producer is Jack Heinrich, and our guest this week is Scott Powers. He writes for The Athletic, does a fantastic job. Scott, thank you very much for taking some time on your Monday night. How's it going, man?
Good, Joe. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Hey, Scott, you've been covering this team for a while, but especially over the last 2 years, same head coach, roster makeup, I mean, different, but not completely different. What in your mind is the biggest difference between these two teams that's not quite doing it in terms of this team being as competitive each and every game like it was last year?
I think part of it is the roster. I mean, this team wasn't built to exactly win. And then you take off Corey Perry, Taylor Hall, and you know, even Andreas Anthassiou. Now, I mean, those are two guys who are top six roles, Perry even on the top power play unit. So you're talking about a bulk of this team. When you even look at the cap space, I mean, those guys cover a lot of ground in the cap, the way that this roster is built. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to sometimes for me to gauge how hard guys are working. I know that's something Luke Richardson said, and, you know, he probably has a better indication than I do. But, you know, when I look at things from, I guess, a larger picture and just how the team was built, and then you take away, you know, you take away some of those main pieces, and you're left with, you know, a lot of young kids, and even young kids like Lucas Reichel, who are, you know, it's expected to take another step this season, and hasn't taken that and never seen that in the next step. So, It's hard for me to say that it all comes down to work ethic. Some of it just seems a talent level, you know, youth and experience, and then you know, just some bad luck and you know, with some injuries, and obviously Corey Perry's situation is different. But it feels like, yeah, to me it feels like a team that wasn't exactly going to win a whole lot of games, and you take away some of the, you know, top pieces from that, it makes it even harder.
Yeah, just kind of a perfect storm. Do you think that the Hawks are doing the right thing with Lucas Reichel? I mean, it seems like they've given him all these different opportunities to succeed, and for whatever reason, it's just not clicking. And kind of the same thing. Like, I don't think it's an effort thing. I think he's trying really hard out there. It's just not working.
Yeah, I mean, they moved him back to the wing. They wanted to give him a long look at center. That wasn't exactly clicking. And then, you know, they gave him a short ride there with Connor Bedard and Phil Kuryshev. And I felt like they had some zone time, but not exactly a whole lot of production. And then, you know, he's bounced around from between center and wing even since then. And, you know, given opportunities on the top power play units, and I know he's had some chances, but, you know, they want him playing with speed and creativity, you know, things you saw at the end of last season where he was, you know, producing a point of game and making some really flashy and, you know, highlight real type plays. And you just haven't seen that, you know, consistently enough. I think there's been moments, and I think early in the season he had a lot of confidence in training camp especially, and then early in the season I thought he played with that. But maybe just lost it over time as, you know, some of those chances didn't go in. So, I think of the Winnipeg game. I'm losing track. All the games are blending together. But, having that Winnipeg game, just how invisible he was. You know, I noticing that when he did have the puck, he just wasn't really, you know, crisp with it. He wasn't looking to make plays. It was, you know, kind of in the whole team that night other than, you know, the Connor Bedard in that line really had anything going. But you kind of tell that something wasn't clicking. And, you know, and obviously the Blackhawks and management and the coaching staff saw that too, to sit him against Minnesota. So it's, I don't know. I think, you know, it's one game. I imagine he's back in the lineup tomorrow. They're hoping that he can respond. You know, sometimes you'll see, sometimes a player will take a healthy scratch and be really motivated. So it's not ideal for the Blackhawks. I mean, they honestly thought Reichel was ready to go and he was going to be, you know, started that same pace he did last season. I think, you know, if Reichel's going, they probably don't, you know, even have to make that trade for, the most recent trade to bring in
really?
Olivier. And I don't know. It's, I think they're searching for answers, and this was the latest one. I don't think they even considered sending him the rock, where, like, they see him as an NHL player, and they don't really think, they don't really think that sort of step back is going to do them any good too. So, yeah, we'll see what comes tomorrow night. But I think this was the latest, kind of desperation move where they thought maybe just sitting him down a game and hopefully that ignites him tomorrow.
Speaking of Beauvillier, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just kind of very confused about it too. I mean, I know working visas are an issue. I know it's a thing, but is there a reason why the NHL can't just, like, get this thing cleaned up and done right away? I mean, this happens all the time.
Yeah, I honestly don't. Even it's funny because, like, this weekend, seeing him in Winnipeg, he's like, yeah, I'm here. And it sounds like the visa office is closed this weekend, so I'm not going to really have any answers. So, it's a strange. I mean, Jason Dickinson went through this last year, too,
right,
where he had to sit out a bunch. And, just coincidentally, the Blackhawks played a game in Canada, so he was able to play that one game. So I would assume it happened at some point this week, and the fact that they have four home games, I'm just guessing. But I would think he's, you know, you think it would get done by this week, and he's with the Hawks at some point this week. So, it's such a strange situation how it so often happens. But, these trades occur in between Canada and U.S., and they still they don't get quickly resolved.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, it's frustrating because, I mean, the Hawks are clearly looking for depth and help offensively right now, and I'm sure they would love to have their new guy. What about the power play or even just the special team, Scott? Is it the same kind of thing you think, missing pieces that they brought in this year for the special teams, then also just kind of relying on too many young guys? Would you say that's the same kind of assessment?
Yeah, maybe. You know, like a power play, sometimes it's a confidence thing. You know, I mean, the Blackhawks have enough pieces, especially with high-end pieces like Connor Bedard, where, I mean, he's still learning the NHL, but it's an area where he's really flourished, you know, throughout his junior career, and he has such a great shot and playmaking ability. So I think they saw a little bit last game, especially getting the puck down low and Tyler Johnson creating a little bit more, trying to create things through the slots. And you saw Radish in the bumper roll getting some opportunities and sort of open some things, maybe some team passes too. So I think just trying some different things and, you know, just having some confidence, you know, practice on Friday in Winnipeg, the power play was a disaster. Like, I haven't seen anything like where they just, even in practice, they couldn't enter, and they were just guys throwing F-bombs all over the place and just really frustrated. And Luke Richardson just had to stop it. Like, he just they stopped practicing because it wasn't going anywhere and it wasn't doing anyone well. And the next day they get one power play, it's okay. And then the game after that, they get the power play early and they get the puck down low to Tyler Johnson. And he seemed like he really opened some things up by being aggressive, trying to play quick, and maybe trying to, just tack some areas of ice they don't normally in the power play. And it felt like it just kind of opened up the entire power play from that. So it's one of those things where the ball starts rolling on the power play and, guys seem to start having some more confidence and, and maybe finding some areas that they weren't able to have positive plays before. So I felt like last game was the best we've seen in the power play for a while. Penalty kill, it's another thing where it's like sometimes it's rolling and they have guys that are really good on the penalty kill. I mean, Jason Richardson and, Boris Tkachuk and guys who have had success. So I think, again, some of it's spacing, some of it's on the defense, and some of it's on the forwards being more aggressive, but also kind of finding, I think, just those passing lanes and trying to get sticks in there. I thought last game Minnesota did a pretty good job of finding those lanes and kind of finding a way to dissect the Blackhawks penalty kill. So, I think those are fixable areas. I think a little bit easier than 5-on-5. I think special teams, it's a little bit more correctable. At least you have your top players on the ice the most of the time. So I think those can be headed in a positive direction. I think it's more 5-on-5 and trying to find ways to produce there that they might continue to struggle.
We're talking with Scott Powers of The Athletic here on Blackhawks Live. A few more minutes. Scott, you can thank my producer, Jack, for this, but I missed this tweet from you in September. It must have been the beginning of training camp or something, but this is from your Twitter. I hated hockey when ESPN told me I'd be covering the Hawks in 2012. I was hoping the lockout would never end. I probably still greatly dislike the sport for a few more years, but now here I am starting my 12th season on the beat. Do you not like hockey?
I didn't grow up with it. I grew up in Chicago. It wasn't accessible. It wasn't something that was in my family. It wasn't, I grew up on the northwest side of the city. Not many rinks around. Blackhawks weren't exactly on TV growing up. Just my exposure to it wasn't great. So, when I was at ESPN, I started covering high school and colleges, and that was my thing. And then ESPN kind of got away from the locals, and it was sort of sink or swim. And they put me on the hockey beat, and Jesse Rogers had gone over to the Cubs beat. So, those first few years, everyone's like, oh, you got to cover the Stanley Cup in 13. And I hated most of it. Like, it was painful, and it was a lot of travel, and it was a sport that I didn't know much about and didn't like, and here I am. So obviously, I've embraced it and tried to learn a lot, and certainly like the sport a lot more than I used to. But it's if you told me, when I started my journalism career, I'd be covering hockey and doing it this long, I certainly would have been shocked.
Well, I feel like it was Jesse that talked about how he misses hockey because the practices are short. I know the season is the longest, but I mean, you got to admit the games are quick. The practices are short. I mean, I don't know. Is there anything that surprisingly has turned you on to hockey that you do like about it compared to other sports that you covered?
Yeah, no, I think when I got laid off from ESPN, and then when the Athletic started and the Blackhawks didn't credential the Athletic originally, it was trying to figure out a way to cover the sport. With not having access and asking people to pay for it. And what I started doing was watching the games and then replaying the games and trying to really, cut up video. And by doing that, I really slowed the game down and started understanding it at a different level. And, not having played it, there weren't a lot of things I understood. And I felt like as much as I had covered for ESPN for a while, like my full education of hockey really started until, I'll be with the Athletic 8 years in February. It began when that Athletic kind of education began, with just really going through video and understanding why this place happened. And everything happens so quick when you watch it live.
Right.
It's kind of a little bit easier for me to kind of dissect. But, I think back then it was really good for me to have to, take a pause and kind of really go through those plays and trying to produce, I was trying to obviously produce content that other people weren't doing. But it was really good for me to learn the game through that way because I think I learned a ton about it. And even now, I've been doing this for a minute, but I feel like I'm still learning. And, I think that's what I really enjoy about this. Covering hockey is I feel like I'm trying to continually evolve as a reporter and try to cover it different ways and try to understand it in different ways too. So it's been fun in that respect.
Well, I'll say, Scott, I mean, that really did surprise me, because the way you break down the game and break down plays and incorporate the Corsi rating, and I'm very impressed with your analysis of the game. I would never have thought that, you know, you really didn't take a liking to it. But I feel like sometimes that's what you got to do when you're not in love with a certain sport that you're working or covering or calling or whatever. You just kind of have to take a strategic approach and kind of like make it your homework and dive into it and try to find a greater appreciation of it. And so I can understand that, but I'll be honest, it surprised me that you weren't too much of a hockey fanatic growing up, based on how much you know about it.
Yeah, no, I grew up watching Chicago high school basketball and, you know, really into that for a long time. And, you know, when I was at ESPN, it was a lot of high school stuff and some college hoops and, you know, some college football and stuff. So it was mostly like, if I wanted to stay at ESPN, if I want to stay in this business, at least with ESPN, it was covering hockey. And it's strange enough for the Athletics started, like, it was originally like we were going to cover, I was going to cover White Sox and help out with Bulls and all these different things. And then all of a sudden, you know, Athletics saw, you know, how well the Blackhawks readership was. And it was one of the reasons why the Athletic went so deep into covering hockey too. And, you know, kind of really immersed itself in Canada and elsewhere. So it's been really cool. Like, it's, again, like, this wasn't what I expected, but now that it's this way, I went, you know, like, I've done a couple books with Joe Belfry and Marion Hosa, and certainly, you know, kind of really got into hockey. So it's strange how things happen, but it's been a lot of fun, and certainly, you know, like I said, trying to continue to evolve and hopefully report the game, you know, in a different way.
Huh, that's cool. Scott, thank you very much for the time, man. I know you got extreme dad duty right now, so we'll let you get back.
I got a 2-year-old who's searching the house right now for me, so I will go find her.
All right, good luck finding her. Thanks, Scott.
All right, thanks, Joe.
All right. That is Scott Powers of The Athletic. Great convo with him. I will say that book with Marion Hossa, fantastic, and I hope I told Scott this. If I didn't do that in real life, I'll have to do it tomorrow. But the way he's able to translate Marion Hossa in that book, it just, Hossa sounds so conversational. And as great as Marion Hossa is as a person, his personality, everything, you know that there's a language barrier there. But when you read the book, it's not like that at all. It's just, it's so fluid. It's such an easy read. He's got so many good stories in there. I highly recommend that for Hawks fans and just sports fans in general. We'll take a break. One more segment of Blackhawks Live, and that's it here on 720 WGN. I'm Joe Brand. This is the last segment of Blackhawks Live, and it's time for Jack's last thoughts. Jack Heinrich, our producer, the floor is yours.
I'm mainly looking to see how Lucas Reichel responds tomorrow with the healthy scratch. I mean, me and you were both surprised when we saw that news yesterday, and hopefully it lights a fire under him, like you said, Joe. Like, I was pretty high on him, too, coming into the year. He had a really good end to the year last year when he got some time playing after the trades and looked pretty good and added on a ton of weight, and he looked good going into training camp. And then the last preseason, I mean, preseason is a little slow, but he got that last goal. I think it was in Nashville, their last game, but
St. Louis.
That's right. And he got his goal, and I thought that would carry on through the season, but I don't know, it's kind of been the story of the Hawks. He's gotten off to a slow start, and the Hawks, after winning a couple big games, have kind of been up and down with a lot of stuff off the ice too. But
yeah, I almost wonder how different this year would be if Reichel was really pulling through. Because even if the Hawks are, even if the record is exactly the same, how much more relieved are fans knowing that the two guys that probably matter the most in the organization right now are doing what they're doing?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and Scott had an interesting point. He's like, I don't even know if they trade for Beauvillier.
Yeah, I found that interesting. You said that
Reichel's playing well.
I feel like it, because okay, then Reichel stays on the top line, but I don't know. I still think they need the depth.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and they were struggling a little bit together, too, with on the defensive side of the ice. I know they're trying to get that spark on offense, but I thought that was interesting, because if he's doing well, maybe you just think you could throw him up there. But they've been getting hurt with a lot of their forwards this year, so I think that you're right. They need more depth.
From 773, the roster is not built to win yet, and that's the plan. This year is about developing Bedard, Korchinski, and to see what we have in Reichel and Soderblom. Next season is when we should start thinking about postseason. You're right about those assessments on those players, yes, and I think this is an important year to kind of put the microscope under them on the ice. Next year, postseason, I mean, I'm just saying, Hawks fans, be cautious. I'm not saying it's not going
to happen.
Seems
a little early.
There's a world where it can happen, but just you got to be cautious in terms of all the players you're going to rely on. You think they're relying on a lot of young guys right now? I mean,
even more so then.
Exactly. And then from the 219, I know you're big on the coach, but he's got to go. In the end, it's all about results not showing, even if it's showing improvement. I don't know about that. Big thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. Big thanks to Scott Powers of The Athletic for taking time out of his Monday night. Next game is tomorrow night against Nashville. FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show begins at 7. Puck drop with John and Troy at 7:30. This has been Blackhawks Live. Steve Ruxton has your news next. After that, it's John Landecker. We'll talk to you tomorrow night from the United Center.